What's going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another edition of Jay Bird Watching. We are part of the StadiumScene.tv network, and of course, we are the official podcast of Jay's Journal, fan-sided Jay's Journal. I am back in with these group of guys talking Blue Jays.
Group of goofs.
What I would like to say before we begin is a happy belated Father's Day to all the dads, to all the kings out there. I hope your Father's Day was as good as mine was. Hopefully you were able to feast and chill, mow the lawn, do what you got to do. I myself cleaned up the shed and had protein waffles, so I was in my element.
There you awesome. Go.
That being said, the Blue Jays have won 4, I think, of their last 10. They got destroyed by the Yankees, and we're going to break down all of this. We're going to talk the series against the Yankees. We're going to talk about the back logging of the backstop position with the catcher, the catchers, of Alejandro Kirk, Gabriel Moreno, and Danny Jansen's eventual re-arrival to the team. We're going to talk about the All-Star break, and of course, we have to touch on King Kevin Biggio.
But before we do, I thought we were going King Kirk.
No. Who's that? There's only one king. Before we do, let's introduce the co-hosts. We have Mr. Brendan Penicar and Mr. Craig Borden. I believe Chris Key will be joining us momentarily, but in the interim, how you guys doing?
Yeah, doing well, man. Doing well. It's fucking hot here, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah? Not rocking the AC?
No, I am. That's why I got the hoodie on. It's like...
It is underground Larry's. Like, I got to layer up.
Yeah. It almost felt like 40 Celsius today, and it's apparently going to tomorrow, too. So it is a hot one.
There you go. Yeah.
It was real fun in the workshop today. That was all nice and humid. It was a good time.
Yeah.
I am, to your point of the whole fatherly duty things, Adam, I'm realizing I just left my beers in the fridge. I better hurry up and step up my game.
Well, go get them.
I know, right? Oh, fine.
You got a headset?
Shun the lack of beer guy.
You got a headset, sir.
I can talk about this beautiful thing of, like, you know, having a portable headset.
Yes. To answer your question, Brendan, I am doing very well. We had a bit of an illness scare last week. I don't know how I dodged the bullet. I don't know how I dodged the Rona, but apparently I did, allegedly. Bro, I don't know. Maybe. I think so. But this is where we're at. So let's just go with that. I am well protected. All right, so let's get started here. We have to talk about the Yankees first. All jokes aside, we have to talk about the Yankees series. This was a pivotal series. The Blue Jays needed this series at least to make up some ground. They weren't ever going to catch up to them completely, but being able to at least win the series would have at least scratched away towards gaining ground on first place in the division, even though as of today they are, I think, at the top of the wild card right now, a game and a half above Cleveland and Boston, who are tied. So right now, the Blue Jays fell to the Yankees 2 out of the 3 games. Thank Teoscar Hernandez for winning the last
thank
one.
God.
They currently find themselves, as of this recording, Tuesday evening, they are 12 games behind the Bombers. In second place in the division. So, Brendan, we'll start with you. Did this weekend lend credence to the notion that the Yankees are the superior team, or is this just a product of the Yankees just being on an incredibly hot streak that eventually they have to regress to the mean and they will cool down? What particularly stood out to you in the series, and do you have faith that the Blue Jays can catch up?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to make up 12 games, although last year we said it would be hard to gain ground on the Yankees when we were in September, and it was a 8 game? I know it's not as bad, or it wasn't as bad, but 8 games I think they were behind the Yankees, and they erased in 2 weeks. Now, it only takes one hot streak for the Blue Jays and one cold streak for the Yankees to be able to make up significant ground, and hopefully that will come. So I'm not ruling out the division right now, but it's going to be super tough. For reasons why we'll talk about later, there's definitely a need for upgrades for this team. But to be honest, the way the Yankees are playing right now reminds me so much of the second half 2015 Blue Jays, where they basically play perfect baseball on all facets. And it's just wild that the Yankees got off to such a crazy start like this, 50-17. What? I think the Blue Jays in that second half of 2015 only lost 17 games and won 40-something, maybe high 30s. I can't remember the exact number, but it was insane. And that, in my mind, with so many games, is basically like playing perfect baseball. Their bullpen is incredible. Their rotation has had surprises like Nestor Cortez. Jameson Taillon has been healthy. Gerrit Cole has figured it out since his first couple rough starts. Jordan Montgomery has had a bounce back season. So everything has gone perfectly. So you have to imagine that eventually they're going to start hitting a rough patch. And it's just a matter of, is that going to come? And I'd like to believe so. And again, I just don't know if they will hit a rough patch for as long as the Blue Jays need them to catch up to the Yankees. So, I mean, I'm perfectly content with where the Blue Jays are at right now, considering they're 9 games above 500. I think it wouldn't be as big a deal if the Yankees were only, say, 5 games ahead or 4 games ahead, of course. But again, you just have to tip your cap at that point to a team that's just played so perfectly to this point this season, where it's like the Blue Jays, of course, they could be better. We all think they could be better than what they've done. But the fact that they've been hovering around 10 games above 500 for the last 2 weeks, I mean, that's good enough for me, to be honest. And that should get you a playoff spot at the end of the day.
That is the playoff spot right now.
Yeah, wild card number one right now.
So, did you want me to go around?
Yeah, go for it.
So to that point, to me, the Yankees are playing perfect baseball right now.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that honestly I don't think is sustainable. I think they are a plus team. No problems, no hands down, but I really think their level is about the same as where the Blue Jays are. Right now, they're just getting everything that they would expect to get out of every person on that roster. It's not just this guy doing it. It's not just Judge running with everything. It's not Stanton crushing everything. And they don't even have Chapman and Zach Britton and a few of their other guys in their bullpen right now. So there's enough going on that will hopefully get them involved to, you know, not have this crazy cocktail of awesome that they got going on right now, because it's just unsustainable. I think right now there's too much going on. Baseball's going to be baseball. They have everything firing on all cylinders right now in that Yankee clubhouse, but it's not going to stay that way. In a few weeks, they could be looking like we've been over the last week here, and just looking like we can't figure out how to score runs, or when we score runs, we can't pitch our way out of a brown paper bag. Baseball doesn't go perfect all day, every day, and I can't see the Yankees doing this the whole rest of the season. If they do this, they break the Mariners' single-season record for wins. And I don't see this team being that team that is the one that unseats the Seattle Mariners from that. It just doesn't add up to me for that. So I think they're easily a 100-win team and are going to be right there in the division race at the end of it. But there's going to be a point where the Blue Jays go on a tear right now and the moon's aligned properly. It's just obviously over this last week, that sure as shit was not what was going on with the Blue Jays clubhouse.
To your point. Hey, Chris. The Yankees have a plus 145 run differential, which is the highest in baseball, and they have the fewest runs allowed at 199. So they are pretty good. I think right now they are losing to the Rays as we speak right now. I think it's 2-0. They are down. But Chris, as you enter the chat, we're just touching on the Yankee series and how the Blue Jays failed to gain ground. What is it about that series that stood out to you? Or if there are numerous things, please feel free to indulge. Does this prove to you that the Yankees are, or do we have enough of a sample size to lend credence to the fact that, or to the notion rather, that the Yankees are the superior team?
I will eat some words from the beginning of the season where I didn't think that the Yankees were going to be very good this year, and holy shit, are they good. There's not a lot that scares me in their lineup other than Judge right now, but for whatever reason, they roll right now, and they know how to turn the lineup over. They can all thump. Rizzo's been on a huge tear. Matt Carpenter's been on a huge tear since he's gone over there.
Which has been
a little bit crazy. And even
when they become 2014 again.
Yeah, and their pitching has been, like, their starting pitching especially has been very good. The big thing that stands out for me is how the tides have turned with this team, that all of a sudden we can hit and the pitching has been atrocious lately. You cannot rely on Berríos right now. You cannot rely on Gausman. You definitely cannot rely on Yusei Kikuchi.
Yeah.
That whole fiasco with Donaldson slamming his bat down, like Kikuchi can't hit the fucking broadside of a barn right now, and you're getting pissed off in the first or second inning because Kikuchi hits you. Like, grow up. But anyways,
how do you really feel?
Well, it's just I've never what are the Blue Jays right now? Like 33-22 or something?
No, you're what? 38-29.
38-29. Oh shit. I'm way behind now.
You've been working way too hard.
Yeah, I've been working a lot. is this not like so they're what, 9 games above 500 right now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 9 games. Is this the most frustrating team you've probably ever watched?
2013.
Well, for sure. But like frustrating in the sense that they're still doing well, but they should be so much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I don't want to say that this team has been disappointing so far, because disappointing's not the right word to say, but they very much leave something to be desired. And like if this team could ever just figure out all three sides of this game, like starting pitching, bullpen, and offense all at the same time, and their defense has been largely pretty good all year long, but like if they could figure out everything all at once, sure, they're just as dangerous as the Yankees. I don't think there's any chance anybody's catching the Yankees at this point or even making it close. Like the Yankees can still go like 500 this year and,
oh yeah,
and still blow everyone out of the water. If they go 500 here on out, like they're still winning 110 games or something stupid. So I don't know.
The Yankees swung the big dick this weekend. Yeah.
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters.
Okay.
No, the Blue Jays haven't proven that they can. The Blue Jays haven't proven so far that they can go out and also swing the big dick on the weaker teams.
Facts.
Case in point, the Tigers cough up a game to the Royals.
Yeah. And they still won those series, though.
They still won the series, but if you want to compete with the Yankees for a division title, you need to sweep those series because the Yankees have
dominance.
Yo, I'm looking at the Yankee schedule right now, and there are patches of things that you can say are considered quote unquote daunting. Overall, these teams they should be able to thump them, right? So you got the Astros, okay, sure, that you can say, yeah, that should be a challenging series. Then you have the A's, thump Astros. Astros again or Cleveland? Looks like
Astros
Cleveland.
Again, I think I was
Astros for a game. It's a makeup game.
It's one of those roster realignments like we have doubleheaders.
So they have
headers against the Rays.
One game against the Astros as a makeup. Then you have Cleveland, which, okay, but do we think Cleveland's legit? I don't necessarily think so.
They're just hot.
Pittsburgh, thumping. Boston, thumping. Cincinnati, thumping. Boston, again, thumping. Astros for a doubleheader, okay. And then Orioles, thumping. Mets, okay. And then KC for 4 games. Like, it's pretty light, all things considered.
But the difference in these two teams is the Yankees took care of business.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays had a really weak opponents for a week, and they didn't really take care of business. They struggled a little bit at times against Detroit. They definitely struggled against Baltimore at times, and same with Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to that point, I know you guys we've talked. Oh, go ahead, Adam, if you got something.
I was just going to say, would you feel this, I don't want to say confident in the Yankees, would you feel that the disparity between the Yankees and the Blue Jays is this wide if the Yankees were, Brendan mentioned this earlier, about 5 games in front of the Blue Jays? Like, I don't know that we could discredit a lot of the Blue Jays' accomplishments or standing where they're at right now, because 9 games over 500 is pretty good.
That's a record in the American League still.
Yeah, it's really good. And that's why I say, like, it's hard to say that you can say that they're frustrating to watch because they should be so much better than what they have been. And like I said, if they just, if all facets of the game click at once, this team is incredibly dangerous. But they haven't been able to pitch and hit at the same time.
Well, see, that's why the Yankees are 50-17, because everything has clicked since the start of the season. Like,
and does it keep clicking?
It can't.
And you know what? If one aspect stops clicking and one gets mediocre, then you will see them start dropping games to Baltimore. You'll see them start dropping games to Kansas City. And that's what happened to the Blue Jays. When you don't have everything clicking, you will drop a game or two. You can absolutely steamroll them like the 2015 team did when they clicked on all facets, but they haven't. It's been two out of three at the beginning of the season with the rotation and the bullpen, and then lately it's been just the offense, really, sprinkled in with a couple good starts. I'm just hoping it's a rough patch for them and they'll pick it back up soon. But again,
so
yeah, I get
that was
it.
Where that's I was going
part for sure.
Sure.
Yeah. So that was the statistic fund that I was going toward, because you guys remember how this talk was a few weeks ago, all pitching, no offense.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what stats do in the course of what, 3 weeks. Cause if you look at the, standard batting stuff for the, teams in general, not just individual players, the Blue Jays are in the top 10 of every offensive category right now. We were talking a few weeks ago that they couldn't bat their way out of a freaking, brown paper bag, to make the same joke I made a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. They're the third best team in on base percentage and right now in baseball. So you get on base, you score runs, it all levels out. But if you look on the other side of the ball, all of a sudden, like, our team earned run average right now is literally 0.01 below the league average of 4. So all of a sudden, that was an argument that was a strength a few weeks ago, and literally a month ago, basically. And now we've done this reversal, and that's why this team is what we're getting right now, around 9-10 games above 500. And unless you do get that next piece to put all the, like you said, the rest of it together and find some balance in the stat sheet there, this team will all of a sudden rises up to that point where you're talking about being in contention with the Yankees. But right now, my legit question is, do you guys see anything right now that is encouraging enough on the pitching side to level out with the amount of offense that we've had going on lately?
Outside of Manoa? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because even the bullpen right now is a wild card. You get Jimmy Garcia is a freaking, like I told you guys a few weeks ago, I feared he was turning into Jason Frazier. I'm unfortunately seeing nothing but Jason Frazier every time he goes out there.
I'm more worried about the bullpen right now because they can't keep gaps close. Like the Yankees game on Friday. Yeah, and even Sunday, they were so lucky to win that game, but the bullpen let it get away to 8-3 when it was close. Yeah. Last night, same thing. If whoever it was, I can't remember, if they keep it just a tad closer with the White Sox, they'd win the game.
Extra.
Yeah, they would have come back to win. That's what's the most concerning thing to me, is they need bullpen help pretty quick, and it's incredible how quickly that's changed, because Trevor Richards, as we talked last week, he is out of the circle of trust by far. There are other guys in there, they just cannot keep gaps from starters close. You will have clunkers. You will have clunkers like Barrios last night. Gausman was unhittable to begin the season, and you knew that was going to regress a little bit. Maybe not to this level, but again, we all saw a little bit of starting pitching regressing coming, but the bullpen faltering at keeping deficits close is what's hurting them the last week or so. Mm.
Yeah.
To that point, is there anybody, obviously Romano is, you trust him implicitly at this point, and
yeah,
he went two games in a row.
Five out save.
Right? Yeah. Two games in a row, I want to say. Anybody outside of really Simber that you trust out of the bullpen right now?
No, not really. Not really. You'll get some good outings from time to time from Garcia, but
it's been a full-on wild card. You don't know what's coming out of that bullpen each night. It's Dr. Jekyll or Dr. Hyde,
It was Phelps who couldn't keep it close last night. He'd probably be the closest one that I trust after that right now. But even after last night, it's just like, okay. Like,
they're all getting overworked.
Yeah, that's
the
thing.
You can't, and I know we're eventually going to talk to the plethora of catching depth that we have on that, but how much is all of a sudden not having the consistency of Danny Jansen with Alejandro Kirk affecting the starting pitching and affecting the bullpen? I love what we're getting out of Moreno, but maybe that wrench is the catch he didn't get to play spring training with these guys. He's learning on the fly, and he's doing a really good job at that. Don't get me wrong.
He was with them in spring training. Things. He was doing. If you listen at the letters, he was in the complex with the MLB guys. Yes, he was in the complex, and he was running through day-to-day stuff as if he was a major league game. If you listen back to At the Letters, they were going on and on and on about how he was in all of the pitchers and catchers meetings, and basically
being and Jimmy Garcia showed up like a day before the season started.
It may not have been this year, but they have been going on about and like on and on and on about how he's been run through what a typical day is like, and he's been in the pitchers and catchers meetings and stuff basically every day.
Gotcha. But it wasn't planned, is what I was trying to point out. So as far as it goes, you've got another guy that's all of a sudden the conversation, another voice in the room. You guys know how it is. You're trying to solve a problem, and somebody comes in, and sometimes this thing go awry for a bit until you get back on track.
Yeah.
I think the kid's great, and we'll get to that, but I wonder how much of something that has just become extra work for the pitchers, and it's creating a little bit of a void going on there.
Have you guys gotten the opportunity? We can wrap it up here when it comes to the woes. Talking about Gausman, did you guys happen to see his spin rate against the Orioles?
Is it down crazy?
Down hard. Oh, wow. Hard. His splitter spin rate in particular was down 165.
I would explain why he wasn't finding the bottom of the zone with it as much.
Well, it also, I think, has to do with the gripping the baseball, because he was chucking a lot of them back.
Oh, he was having a fun time finding balls. We threw like six back, and the umpires even sitting there going, what I mean, right?
Yeah.
So, and to that point, that's a problem with baseball in general. So they need to stop messing with the damn balls or give everybody the same competitive advantage to get grip. And I'm sorry to say, I agree with the pitchers that rosin doesn't cut it. That shit never did anything on any field I ever was on.
I also have the fear that he's tipping pitches. I mean, we've talked about this
combination
before.
Combination of all evils.
Yeah, I don't know if that's fully been addressed yet. So when you have a gripping of the baseball problem plus tipping your pitches, this is bound to happen. So a team like the Orioles shouldn't be getting up on you. They were swinging at a shit ton of first pitch strikes, and they were really taking advantage of it. So you just got to hope that he gets out of that. I would like to hope that he does sort of crawl his way out of this, because, I mean, we've seen what kind of a pitcher he can be. So I feel like there's more reason to be confident in him than think that this will be a trend going downward for the rest of the season. But it's just something to monitor, and it's not good. Let's roll right into that. It's not in order, but let's talk about the injuries and the poor pitching performances, because we're on that track anyway. So we have injuries in both the AAA and the MLB right now, and it comes to the name of Nate Pearson and Hyunjin Ryu, respectively. Ryu is getting Tommy John. He'll be out for approximately 12 to 15 months, so I guess it's safe to say that he's pitched his last pitch as a Blue Jay. And Chris Key has been very vocal over the notion that this is perhaps the worst signing in Blue Jays history.
That's only to get under Brendan. But he did have successful
cheers to that
the other day.
Yeah. Nate Pearson tossed two pitches, not two innings, two pitches in his latest start and in AAA, and was immediately visited by the is that what it is? It's confirmed shoulder discomfort.
Right shoulder discomfort.
Yeah, that doesn't
diagnosis.
Very vague.
That was 3 days ago.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Very, very vague.
You couple this with Kikuchi struggling, Chris, as you mentioned. Barrio struggling, as we've all talked about. Gausman having his issues. This rotation is not shaping up as how we thought it would be, or actually how it was looking like for the better part of May seeping into June. Chris, we'll start with you then.
Okay.
What's the answer here? Because we just can't rely on Manoah. I think Manoah, you said, was going to be a top two Cy Young candidate. You might be on track with that, but look, I don't think the drop off from Ryu to Stripling is that steep. And that's no disrespect to Ryu, but we've been talking about this. I don't think that's much of a drop off. But when you have players like Berríos, Kikuchi, and Gausman not pitching the way they ought to be pitching, given the contract of at least Berríos and Gausman, it smells trouble for this rotation. So what is the remedy? Is an upgrade in the rotation a higher priority now than a lefty bat? Do you think the Blue Jays are going to be aggressive now or wait to the deadline to see if the bleeding continues? What do you think is going to happen, and how would you address this issue?
I don't see them going after a starting pitcher probably until the deadline. I just don't think anybody's going to get rid of a starting pitcher until that point. You might be able to pick off one or two bullpen pieces like they did with Simber and Richards last year. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. And currently, honestly, I think that's more of a pressing issue.
Somebody's got to eat up these innings, man. Out. Yeah. That's the biggest problem.
And you have to figure out some way, somehow, to get Berríos and Gausman. Like, you can deal with whatever Kikuchi's going to give you at this point. You're locked in with him for 3 years, unless you're dumping him with some deal just to get him off your roster and let him go throw in Pittsburgh for a couple of years. But, like, at this point, would you want to pay him $12 million a year to throw like he is right now? Probably not. You want at least a consistent five innings from him.
There's something there, though. It's not happening yet, but there is something to the whole Kikuchi thing, I still think. Yeah. But it's infancy of the whole, you know. And then Pete Walker not being here this week, I know he was at family fun, but.
Yeah. I don't know. I think all of the pitching, like any kind of pitching upgrades you make, are probably more pressing than a lefty bat, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because the offense is now fine. And the offense will probably continue to keep being fine. I have more trust in the offense staying the same than the pitching coming back to life, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know what the fix is. I don't think any of you three know what the fix is, but I sure as fuck hope that Ross Atkins knows what the fix is. Because, like, we're
going to that point, we've had pretty good confidence in him over the last few years.
Yeah, we're going to be into some long days. And I don't know if the bullpen needs, like, star guys or anything, but you need some, like, high-octane, just blow-it-by guys.
Strikeout guys.
You do need strikeout guys, and that's going to come at a heavy price, I think, because GMs can smell blood, right? And they know that the Blue Jays are getting a little bit desperate because they have none. So
can I be this guy, then, and present a wonderful... observation over the last week in Blue Jays baseball.
Yeah.
Shoot. Did anybody else notice the embarrassment of riches that the Detroit Tigers bullpen has?
Yes. That's what you go after.
I'm looking at Alex Lang. I'm looking at if they'd sell somebody like Gregory Soto because he doesn't fit in with their window. I'd even take a flyer on Michael Fulmer only having more year and hoping he eats enough freaking innings or something. You know what I mean? Like that, because that's what they need, somebody right now that can come in and be another veteran. They need to find that aggregate of what Trevor Richards was last year, what Simber was. And I think that asset is lingering in Detroit. To that point, I think the other parts of that solution are watching the inevitable slide that has become the Miami Marlins and looking at their bullpen and especially the embarrassment of riches they have in their rotation and throwing prospects. But to your point, Chris, I don't think that's anything until a trade deadline at the most. But I think that the Marlins are going to be in that conversation pushing their pitching on the market just as much as the Oakland A's are with Montas. And the Reds with Castillo and everybody like that. I think the Marlins are going to be in that conversation. And I think their prospects and our prospects and everything kind of match a little bit better. To that point, they need a catcher.
Yeah.
Don't bury the lead.
Yeah, teams are already calling about all of our catchers.
Yes.
There was already talks
Stallings is not helping the Marlins win anything in the near future. He's a B catcher. It's good. Defensive.
Yeah, there was already talks between Miami and Blue Jays for a deal involving Teoscar. We know that. So
Yeah. Pick that back up, but don't move Teoscar.
Don't need him for the offense if you're not going to be trained for a lefty bat anymore. And I agree with you guys that the pitching has all of a sudden become the clear gaping issue. And I think you can take that issue with the fact that you can move the offense because the fact that you have had the emergence of Alejandro Kirk. You've had the emergence of Espinal showing that he can play every day second base. There's enough going on that side of the ball. I'm not as worried about the lefty bat. But when we can't even get through a damn game with pitchers. There's a problem there.
We shouldn't.
Where's Mike McCoy to throw an inning?
We shouldn't be worried about a lefty bat now that Cavan has arrived. Anyways, Brendan, let's bring it to you. What do you think needs to be at least addressed or done regarding this rotation? I don't know if it's enough to have the Pete Walker sprinkling the magic dust onto Gausman and saying, okay, you're good to go, kid. Get out there. What do you think needs to be done? Because remember, Simber was a pre-deadline deal.
It was this week last year.
Very pre, as I say, we're about that time.
So I think they were still in Buffalo at the time. Maybe something like that, as Chris alluded to. What do you think needs to be done or ought to be done position?
Bullpen for sure needs to be, in my mind, is now the top thing they got to go after. And Josh Goldberg put together a pretty good list. And just the names he put, a couple from the Tigers, as you brought up, Craig, Andrew Chafin.
I didn't even see that. Look at me. I'm as smart as him.
Luke Trevino in Oakland, Daniel Bard, Alex Colome on Colorado, even though Colome doesn't strike anybody out anymore, Victor Arano in Washington. So there's always those guys that we just simply don't know about that are having great seasons because they're middle of the bullpen type arms. Like, who the hell knew how good Trevor Richards was last year when we got him? We all had to look at his Fangraphs page and take a look. It's like, oh, this seems like it could be a very solid acquisition. So bullpen for sure is up there for where they got to go. But I just retweeted a thread. You guys should take a look at it, by Chris Black. He's the Sportsnet producer on Kevin Gausman, and his June ERA is 6.75, but his FIP, fielding independent pitching, is 2.71, which is an indicator he is getting burned by some bad defense. And that's what his whole point is here. And even the game I was at against Minnesota, he got burned by the shift endless amount of times. So they got to adjust something. Maybe the way they play defense behind him, making adjustments off of him. Yeah, so I think it's a rough patch for Gausman. He'll be able to get back and figure it out. And then you go look. I know last night was not good for Barrios, and we've seen this too many times for a guy who is supposed to be a top of the rotation arm. But let's not forget the past three starts. I know, again, the competition wasn't as good as the White Sox, but 7 innings, 3 runs, 8 innings, 1 run, 13 strikeouts, 7 innings, 2 earned runs. Then he had that clunker against the Angels, but before then, 3 earned runs and 6 1/3, 7 innings, 0 runs, and then he had 2 clunkers. And outside opening day, his April was pretty good. So, yeah, he's had some clunkers, too many for a guy that we need to rely on, but it has maybe not been as bad, and maybe we're a little too hard on him for the start he got off of an opening day. So, again, he'll have clunkers. He had a bunch when he came here last year before figuring it out. He made the adjustment they were saying on the broadcast last night. He's now standing, I believe, back on the first base side of the rubber, and it's helped him other than last night since that outing. So I'm not as concerned as Gausman and Barrios as maybe some of you guys are, but it's got to fix really quick. Kikuchi, again, Chris, you kind of nailed it on the head. Just, you know what, you take what you can get. There will be some good starts, there will be some terrible starts, and a lot of in between. And we've gotten that all year from him, and then Manoah's been Manoah. But, yeah, it's got to start tonight. I think Gausman will go out and throw a good game. I hope I'm not wrong, but I think he will start to right the ship. They have.
To that point, the last thing I want to mention when it comes to the rotation, and I don't want to throw out some bad voodoo out there, but if this comes to be, I guess I'm to blame and I'll welcome the hate. This was sort of worst case scenario, and this is what we described would be the case if the likely event that Ryu was hurt. Now, again, we weren't thinking Tommy John, but we were thinking something wasn't right with Ryu since the beginning. Ryu. Starting the beginning of the season. And we said, well, that's what Stripling's there for, to be the replacement. Now you don't have that bullet in the chamber.
Yeah.
Right? So everyone needs to stay healthy. Because if they don't, we're in big trouble. Because you don't even have a Nate Pearson as of right now to sort of come up and be like, all right, kids, time to shine. You don't have it.
You're going to get what you got out of Max Castillo and Casey Lawrence over the last weekend.
Where is
Anthony K at?
I was just going to ask, is he still on the IL? Because I don't
think
know.
So.
I'm looking right now. Hold on. Pitchers. Anthony K.
And what about
He's active. He's active. And so is Hatch.
So there is that to at least lean back on. But to that point, you're talking about them not being fully stretched out, too. They're more bullpen pieces maybe at this point than hoping to praying that you get him stretched out enough to be in the starting rotation.
Yeah, you're relying on K, I would say, at that point to come up as a left-handed pitcher, you gotta perform in that aspect. So I guess that is what you're banking on. So yeah, if as bad as say Kikuchi, Berríos, and Gausman have been, could be way worse if something is to happen.
Well, and you guys know my standpoint on the Berríos. This is just a fun ride that you get to enjoy as a Berríos fan for the next few years, because this is the one piece he's never been able to figure out in his career. How do I stay consistent?
Yeah.
You saw it. He just basically every fifth start he throws in a clunker. Like this is why his ERA looks like it's closer to 4 at the end of the year than closer to, 3.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Let's move on to more positive news that might sound like a problem, but it's kind of not. Let's talk about the All-Star voting system real quick. Right now, as of today, Alejandro Kirk is your leading
nice segue.
Vote getter for the starting catching position for the American Deserves League All-Stars it. Right now. He's got over 1 million votes. That's not something that I think was anything on our radar, because I was under the assumption that outside of Toronto fandom, who the fuck is Alejandro Kirk when it comes to fans of baseball? But real knows real. So couple that with Gabriel Moreno's arrival. Right now, his line as of, Tuesday before the start of the game, 391, 417, 391 with an OPS of 808. This is over six games. And as far as I am, Jansen is starting to ramp up activity. So we have a clusterfuck at this position.
But they can hit.
Yeah, I mean, Alejandro Kirk is hitting the lights out of the ball, and Moreno is definitely showing that he is big league ready right now. And I've said this the whole time. I have said that there's no way he's going to get traded. I don't know.
There it is.
Big news over there.
Contrary. Okay, starters. Greg, we'll start with you.
Or on the cart.
When Jansen makes his eventual return, we have three options on the table. One, Moreno gets optioned back down to Buffalo to get regular playing time. Two, Jansen, out of the three, Jansen is the most likely to be traded, unless it's for an absolute stud of a superstar, then you can move Moreno, as we've talked about. But it seems like Jansen's probably the one to be on his way out. Or the Jays ride with three catchers. Of those three options, Craig, which one do you think the Jays are going to pull with?
What's realistically going to happen, seeing they have to carry another bat on the bench, is until they trade somebody, there is going to be three catchers on this team. Right now, you have Otto Lopez on the bench, and you have Kevin Biggio in and out of the starting lineup. You have...
He's been fantastic.
Yeah, I know. I was for you. There's no, to me, if you were talking about who stays in hot and you're looking to just fill in a bat here, you have to put Jansen on there, because I'm sorry to say Otto Lopez isn't helping you out of a ton of, hitting situations late in the ball game. I think Otto Lopez has a bright future ahead of him, but I don't think it's going to be this season where he's going to all of a sudden just go out and crush the ball like Moreno's been doing over the last few weeks. I think they're going to want to keep Moreno at the major league level, and the way they keep that from, happen or keep him in the lineup for this matter is by making him and Jansen the everyday catchers, and Alejandro Kirk becomes your designated hitter. With those few games like we've been seeing where he's not in the lineup, he's sitting on the bench to give Vladdy or Springer or somebody like that the DH spot for the night. I think that's really what's going to happen. But to that point, I tend to agree with you, Adam, that Danny Jansen is going to be part of one of these reliever trades, because they still have enough catching depth to be able to run around with this thing. So there's no reason in hell that they're not going to. And I think they've benefited from the fact of having Moreno up at the major league level. And yes, he's learning quickly and he's hitting. Those things don't usually happen when a guy comes up in his position. So it's fun to see. And honestly, I don't see how they go around it right now, but this is a team that's already carried three catchers when we had more people in the bullpen than we knew what to do with. So I don't see any reason why they wouldn't do that.
Chris.
I think Craig pretty well hit the nail on the head there. They're going to roll with three until one of them is traded. Mm-hmm. And who gets traded depends on what kind of return you get back. Jansen's probably going for the bullpen. You're shooting for the stars of Kirk or Moreno is gone.
Yeah, right now, right, I would give you the 50-50 that Kirk and Mourinho have the same trade value. You have the guy that's had the bright future, and Kirk is crushing it and shown that he can do this at the major league level now, to the point of what we were just talking about with the All-Star voting. I got in a slight Twitter battle from our podcast account earlier with a Yankee fan that was saying Luis Trevino frickin' deserves the All-Star break. Who the fuck is Alejandro Kirk was more or less the summary of his words. I more or less posted the rankings on Yahoo for fantasy sports for catchers, and I was able to squeeze the top 8 catchers into it. Alejandro Kirk is ranked number 4 in all of Major League Baseball.
He's been great.
He is surrounded by catchers that are all in the National League in that ranking. Mm. I want just to put that out there for that guy, in case he's listening, just because I want to be this douche. Trevino's ranked 15th on that list. So there's 30 Major League Baseball teams. He's in the dead middle. And then just to be this guy, I poured it on a little bit further. Gary Sanchez is even ranked above him. So why the hell? Yeah. Gary Sanchez is the 11th best catcher according to those metrics. Same metrics. And Trevino's 15. So one of the best catchers in baseball right now at the aggregate level of stats, which is why he deserves an all-star shot.
But do you think, I'm not arguing, I'm just questioning, because it's surprising for me to hear, you really think that Gabriel Mourinho and Alejandro Kirk have equal trade value? Because I can't see that.
You're still banking on the fact that Mourinho's raw, right? Kirk's been in the league for 3 years now, in and out. Yes, he's been hurt, but the one thing that they all said is that he can hit. He's proved that all and every step of the way.
Sure.
And he's also this year shown that he can handle full-time catching. And he has done really well, and his pitchers enjoy throwing the ball to him. So that is exactly my opinion. You have now a guy that's major league established for a guy that's still technically a wild card.
My issue with Kirk is not a question of his talent. But maybe
longevity.
It sort of leans.
Because I can make the argument there.
I'm saying that maybe because the expectations and the pedigree and the prestige of him as a prospect was much higher touted than Alejandro Kirk. But we gave Vladimir Guerrero a lot of shit for not being in shape. We gave Vladimir Guerrero a lot of shit for carrying a couple of extra pounds and not being able to move. Now, I understand Kirk is a catcher, and he's got those squats going on. He's got the splits, and sure.
Boy, he's thick.
But at some point, you kind of got to be like, bro, I mean, let's put you on that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. program.
he's producing. That's why it's not a problem.
Well, exactly. They said last night on the pregame that Alejandro Kirk's bat turnaround when he had more time off, like he was in the lineup almost every single day and wasn't hitting doubles and extra base hits and homers. They've managed his workload a lot better, even without the third catcher, since Jansen went down and Mourinho came up. So to answer the first question,
to that point, he's been in every game almost. It's like a day off randomly here and there, just like a regular catcher would get.
Yeah, to answer the original question, definitely they'll go with three catchers when Jansen goes back.
Because that'll just continue to
unanimous
workload for Alejandro Kirk. So they will, and then I think we're all in agreement, one of them will be traded, and it'll probably be Jansen for a bullpen arm. You see what happens, what kind of offers you get for Kirk and Mourinho, and maybe you pull the trigger on moving one of them. But the only thing I think if they don't is, Mourinho goes back down to get a more consistent ABs, because when Vlad needs a day off or Springer needs a day off or Teoscar needs a day off on their feet and they still want to get their bat in the lineup, you lose Alejandro Kirk unless he's behind the plate, and they don't want him behind the plate all the time. So that's where it could get a little bit messy, but it'll be three to start when they get back and then maybe see what happens a week or two after that.
Can I ask
this real
quick go ahead,
question?
Go. Yep.
And maybe you can just field this one really quick, Adam. Who would you be more upset losing, Kirk or Mourinho?
Mourinho.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because I just think I'm all about selling high. I don't know that
selling
this is
high on Kirk. That's why that value was so prevalent with what I was saying.
I agree, and I don't know that this type of production is sustainable. I don't know that I trust him as. I mean, his defense has vastly improved. It's gotten a lot better, especially his awareness with runners on the bases. But I just love the upside of Mourinho, and I love the pipeline that this team has built. And I know Kirk was sort of a part of that, but it was sort of like an accidental participant.
Yeah.
So I think the upside is a little bit higher with Mourinho, and I would hate to see him go again unless it's for an absolute superstar.
An ace.
Nice pick.
Yeah. Can I make an addendum to my previous rant?
Yeah. Go for it.
Gabriel Mourinho is the future of Blue Jays catching. Alejandro Kirk is the future DH of the Blue Jays lineup. Career, right there. That's how I spell it out.
So they go get Votto at the deadline.
He's not going anywhere,
just to appease everybody at ESPN, we got to get the Votto comment in.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, I don't know if you can look this up. I don't know where I would find it. I'm looking on Fangraphs right now. How many options does Jansen have?
I want to say he might actually have one left.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question, actually.
It doesn't tell you on Roto, does it?
It'll tell you on Fangraphs. I'm just trying to find it. And I'm not.
I was under the impression that because of the fact that he's more or less been up and stayed.
He has two options.
He had at least
two options.
That might be an option. That might be something available to them. That's really nice to have in your back pocket.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if
he's been on the IL, he hasn't went down. That's the
no. You're right. But it's kind of like what they did with Cavan, right? There was no place for Cavan to play at the time because Santiago Espinal was hitting so well. And, you know, Chapman was manning third base. So what reason do they have for Cavan at the time? I think they brought him up just to have the lefty bat in the lineup. You could make a similar argument when it comes to Jansen, right? You bring him up on the IL to rehab in AAA, and you sort of just option him. And let him stay there if Kirk and Mourinho are still performing. Because, I mean, then you run the risk of him not having or depleting his trade value.
Right.
I don't feel comfortable having three catchers, even though I agree with all of you that it's probably what's going to happen. I just don't like it. Flogs up the bullpen.
That's,
you know?
That's fair.
That's definitely fair.
All right. Let's round it off. Kevin Biggio's home run. That's a thing of beauty. Last night, we're going to talk about this. How much time do we have right now? We're about 45 minutes in. We'll talk about this for the next half hour.
Oh, God. All right, I'm out for the night. See you guys.
No, I'm kidding. We don't have to talk about Kevin. Let's move right into picks to click. Did you guys pick Kevin for me last week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we actually did. No, you don't have points.
He hit a triple.
I have the player of the week.
No, I do, because it was Cavan.
No, I literally have the Major League Player of the Week.
I picked Cavan.
That was your default.
Yes. All right. So anyway, I have the Player of the Week. Chris had Jordan Romano, who, to that point, honestly, I would have made a good argument with some of these other things that were going on with a five-out save. As you mentioned, Adam, your default pick of Cavan worked out pretty stellar for you. And then, Brendan, you had George Springer. So, do I have to be that dick and just take this and run away with it because, like, my guy got an award? Or
Yeah.
Hey, I finally have my first win again since week two.
There you go.
So now it doesn't hurt so much that I was being a dick, right?
I have to be a close second because no one expected that from Biggio. Except for
So you guys are all tied with three wins apiece. I am now not completely out of it having two wins. So you guys got to figure out how to break this tie up.
Okay.
So
who's first?
I get to go, don't I? Because of the win? Okay. Couldn't remember the rules. You know, because we keep making up new rules every week. I'm going to go with...
Oh, my God. They're showing a picture of Kirk and his father right now, and he's like
clone.
Exactly what you would think. Oh, yeah. No.
I need to see this. But anyway, just because you said it, I'm just going to pick Kirk. I'm going with my default pick this week after a win.
Yeah, hey.
Nice.
Go ahead, Chris.
I'll take Teoscar.
Good pick. There's something brewing there.
I think
he's got his timing back. And his timing comes, and then the swagger's there.
Yep.
Give me Gausman, which includes Gausman tonight with a double and
yes, it does. Monday
start. So I'll go with him.
There you go. Hosty host.
Cheat code is still unavailable.
I think that was the first week he actually legit.
Or is he available to pick?
No, I think he's available. We gave him to somebody, what, last week or the week before?
I had him last week.
I had him the week before.
Yeah,
I think, Adam, you're the only one that hasn't actually picked him yet this year. We can use him like a mulligan in golf.
All right, yeah.
Until we all use him.
I'm not even bullshitting you guys. I was going to pick Cabin, but he's not in the lineup tonight, so I'm going to go Vladdy. Okay. Just for consistency.
So I get a
deal. So tiebreaker fun. I had the schedule in front of me. Obviously, we have more games against the White Sox as of 2 o'clock tomorrow, and game
you
tonight
guys did that, though,
counts
right?
toward that as well.
Yeah, you guys picked. You guys predicted those that series, right?
Yes,
we only did the Monday.
We only did the Monday. We did the Monday.
We can get back in line and just do Brewers and Red Sox for three.
That's fine. So we got three at Milwaukee and three at home versus Boston. Let's go reverse order.
Can I make an argument on this going back to the series? Because that's going to make, if we use this like legit for a tiebreaker, that's going to be difficult because you're actually not picking a guy for two of the nights that you would be using them on.
Okay. Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah. So let's pick these next two against Chicago and bleed into it. So that will be what, 8 games total?
Yep.
We'll go reverse order. So I think they take these next two against Chicago.
Who's pitching tomorrow? Does anybody got that on hand?
Giolito against Stripling.
Giolito versus Stripling. That's what it was, because that's on MLB Network tomorrow.
Milwaukee's tough, especially on the road.
Speaking of pitching.
Yeah, pitching's volatile. So I'm going to go 1 against Milwaukee, and I'm going to go 2 at home versus Boston. So 2-1-2. So that is what, 5?
Yep.
5 out of the 8? Yep. Yeah.
5-2.
5-3. Wow, we do math well on this show.
Yeah, 5-3.
I'm an engineer in the day. reverse order, that would be you, Brendan.
Yeah, I know I picked Gausman, and I think he'll pitch well tonight, but the fact that Dylan Cease has 4 strikeouts already through the first inning in the third
kind of worries me. He looks nasty.
Yeah, they missed him when they were here
because
he's unvaccinated.
All of a sudden.
I definitely think they take tomorrow because they hit Giolito a little bit when they were in Toronto. So definitely one there.
Tigers just hit Giolito pretty good last week.
Yeah. So you know what? You know what, Adam, I'm in agreement. You know what? I think Gausman matches them, and they find a way to squeak one out in the end tonight, and they win tomorrow. Somewhat easily, I think. The Brewers, they will face Adrian Hauser, who's had a decent season, on Friday. Then Corbin Burns is going on Saturday, so that's going to be tough. And then I forget, they're starting Chichi Gonzalez tonight, who was just on a team they played. But I guess got DFA'd, so he's not very good. So maybe 2 against the Brewers, and then 1 out of 2 against the Red Sox. So same record as you, just a little bit different the way the wins are spread out.
So 5-3. Okay.
Yeah. 2 Mr. on the road. Key. That's bold.
So are we, we're picking for the whole Boston series?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just
I thought we were doing line again.
Yeah, that's just, that's fine.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4-3 then.
No, there's 8 games.
8 games.
Doing... Hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Oh, Adam, wait, you only picked 2 against the Red Sox. You picked Monday, Tuesday.
Out of the 3 games, I said they'd win 2 out of the 3.
Yeah, I thought that we only picked for Monday's
team. Are we only going up to Monday? Is that
I think we're making this too hard. We should just keep it to Mondays every week.
Maybe that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I thought we were only going to the Monday.
That's fine. All right, yeah. Then it's what, 4 out of the
five?
It's still
5-2. Six, if you still think they get 5 wins.
Yeah, I think they take 2 against Chicago. Two. I think they take 1 against the Brewers, and then 1 against Boston.
Okay, so you're 4-1.
4-3, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sticking with 5-2. I'm still going 2 at the Brewers.
There you go. Okay. Now that we have that all cleared up, Chris.
You should still only have 6 games.
Why? 2 against Chicago.
2 against Chicago, 3 against Milwaukee, 1 against Boston.
1 against Boston.
Oh, yeah, true. Jeez, we're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, one. You guys are 3-3, Craig. 3-3.
now that you're all right.
But you're right. So it'd be what? 2 against Chicago, 1 against Milwaukee, and so 4-2.
Yeah, okay. I guess I have to adjust it and go that way too. 4-2.
I think I'm with Chris. 3-3. That series with the Brewers does scare me because they have also been hitting. So I think that's where I'm at.
All right. So that being said, we will catch you Tuesday on your
Tuesdays.
Trying to do this every Tuesday. We're trying to remain consistent. So if you like what you've heard, please feel free to subscribe to the show on whatever podcatcher you listen to us on, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to us on. Please subscribe. Tell your friends, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It helps the algorithms, I guess, a lot. And if you prefer to watch your content, we are on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, all the friendly video hosting platforms that you get your podcasting pleasures from. So please feel free to subscribe, share, like, do all the buttons, help us out in the algorithms, and interact with us on Twitter, please. That being said, we will catch you next week. Let's end this as we always do with 2 claps and a Ric Flair. Let's go.
Woo! Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Blue Jays.
Get rid of the 4th of July hat.